So last night I was out in the evening looking for turtles coming ashore to lay eggs.
Is that a euphemism? Because we have that in my neighborhood, but it you know happens right around Gay Pride. Gets a little weird around here.
No, it's really a thing. This time of year is tortugas come ashore and lay their eggs, and saw two of them come up on shore.
Oh.
And it's a very highly patrolled thing. You know, at one point we were standing about 20 yards away.
Turtle cops.
The turtle cops came and said, you have to sit down.
I'm like, don't mess with the turtle cops.
Don't mess with them. They were ready to kind of kick some ass.
Bad amphibians, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they crawl towards you?
And they don't crawl fast. They're kind of lumbering.
Well, that's their whole thing, the whole thing with turtles, right? I don't know if you've heard about the tortoise and the hare, whole thing.
Yeah, they're slow.
Yeah.
Flopping around on the beach looking for a place to lay some eggs.
Yeah. Sounds a lot like me in the summer, though.
So this is episode 77 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the Joe Ducky Medwick episode. He wore number 77 for 2 years with the Brooklyn Dodgers. Well past his prime, but still wore number 77 in the highest WAR individual that wore the uniform.
Okay, good.
So there you go.
Good. That's exciting. Good for Medwick. What was his nickname again?
Ducky. Joe Ducky Medwick.
Yeah. You don't get nicknames like that these days, do you?
No. The good old days. You know.
That'd be like kind of an insult now, I think.
I think so, too. I think everybody had a nickname back in, turn of the century and into the 40s.
Well, that's because they had like 14 names. It's like Reginald Archibald Alabaster McAllister Reynolds Davidson. Like, well, we call him Snort.
Yeah, those are the good old days for sure.
What would your nickname be, John?
My nickname as a little kid and never stuck was Rusty because I had red hair.
Oh. So,
but that never really, it lasted, I think, a summer.
Oh, okay.
My swimming teacher called me Rusty. I think I was 10 years old.
Oh,
but nobody else called me Rusty.
Okay. I went by Mena Belly.
Mena Belly? What is that?
Yeah. Man of Belly.
Oh.
Because as a younger child, and well into my current state, I have always sported quite a
masculine figure.
Protuberance. A masculine in a way, like in that sort of like beer drinking, you know, enjoys comfort food, enjoys a good life, doesn't do that much activity. But even as a young child, I had a big belly. So Manabelly. Yeah. And then it was like Jed the Head. Then it became like all the Jed things, right?
Uh-huh.
Jed the Head was pretty common.
You had a website called, or still do, don't you?
I do. Jed's Head. Yeah. Jed's that's Head. Different, though. That's a different thing.
But do you ever do anything with that website, or is that, you know?
No, you know, that was something that I was doing back in the 2000s, and it was just like when I was getting started as a writer, and, you know, so I wrote about like my travel, because I always have weird travel stories, and so it has like my trip to Africa is up there, and my trip to, you know, cross-country trip. I think the cross-country trip was like the last big thing that I wrote for that, because then I started actually doing writing for money, and then, well, also baseball writing sort of took over. So, but yeah, I used to do fun things like I used to do coffee house locals, and it was basically just like weirdos I saw at the coffee shop while I was writing and stuff.
Yeah, no, I had plenty of those experiences. It's always fun.
Yeah. Always take out the faces, though, John.
Yes,
I've always been a don't show the face kind of person,
which is kind.
Yeah, like, look, this is a freak. Let's all laugh at him/her, but let's not know who they are by their face.
I'm interested in this trip to Africa. Was it big game hunting?
No, we did do safari though quite a few times, and
cool.
It was delightful. I will say the most terrifying moments were the time we were on the Zambezi River and we were canoeing, and we went down the left side of the river, and along the right side of the river, which is where we were, three hippopotamuses surfaced.
Oh, and that's dangerous.
And hippopotamuses are the most dangerous animals in Africa. Even though they look goofy when they're running around on land, they are the most dangerous.
And so, they move very quickly in the water.
Yes, and they have no intention of eating you, but they do want to destroy you and rip all of your limbs off.
Right. They stomp on you, right? They're stompers. That's right.
Yeah, well, they just do like they thrash you, basically.
Oh, that was fun. That must have been a fun ride down the river.
No, it was, honestly, it was a thrill. And then the second scariest thing was the elephant with the erection.
Oh, okay.
That was right next to our safari truck.
It probably could knock the truck over.
I gotta say, John, I felt a little emasculated.
No, I remember taking Kyle to the zoo when he was about 5 years old, and an elephant was sporting some excitement. And Kyle was like, "What the heck is that?" And it's like, "Well, that would be his second trunk."
Yes. Oh. Yes. I tried to explain to my girlfriend that, like, while I am a mammal, it would be prohibitive to have something, and she just wouldn't hear it. We broke up shortly after.
She's like, "That'd be okay by me." You wouldn't be able to, like, you know, wear clothes. You wouldn't be able to, like, you know, elephants don't
small
wear pants.
Small price to pay. Right. Small price to pay, John.
Right. And the key word being small, right?
Yes. Well, not that small, but still.
Let's talk some baseball headlines.
Oh, right. Baseball.
This is a baseball podcast.
Lotta and other stuff going on there for our listeners. Yeah, baseball. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, right? Active.
Yeah, it's a very
playoff
active
races. You see these Red Sox? They lost some games. Can you imagine?
But they had the healthy dose of Marlins to help them
fix
their woes.
Even trailing in both games, right. They wound up just beating them both times.
Yeah, in a football game yesterday.
Yeah.
With 11 runs in one inning. That always helps.
Yeah, healthy.
Yeah, so, yeah, they were creeping down, or the Yankees, I wouldn't say the Yankees were creeping up as much as the Red Sox were creeping down, and they lost three in a row.
That's right. They actually got swept by the Rays. They were swept. Yeah.
And then, like I said, the Marlins come to town and everything's back to the way it used to be.
My favorite thing about them losing those three games, though, is like, oh, here come all the think pieces about how the Yankees still have a shot here, guys. Like, oh, the Red Sox are vulnerable. Like, yeah, it's baseball.
Right. And there's going to be the ebb and flow of the season.
Yeah, they're going to lose some games. Like, every team ever, the best teams, even that Mariners team that won 114 games?
16, yeah.
16? Yeah, even they had a four-game losing streak. Mm. Like, it happens.
But the Red Sox have not had a four-game losing streak all season.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
But they're vulnerable, John. Yeah, every team that goes out on that's the whole point of baseball. But anyway, so all these think pieces about, oh, the Yankees could still win the division. Like, okay, so... Right. This is what I hate is when people start going, oh, look, if you look at the last five games and we use that as the metric for how the rest of the season is going to go, like, yeah, okay, great. That's real smart. That shows a real knowledge of baseball and how things go. Sometimes bad teams win games. Sometimes bad teams win multiple games.
Well, do recall that the 76 Yankees were 9 back, I think it was on like September 3rd, and wound up playing that one-game playoff, the Bucky Dent game. So, stranger things have happened.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. It's not like I'm sitting here saying it's a lock. It's just, it's funny to see, like, oh, they lost a few games.
There's something to write about. There's a story. Here's an angle.
There's other stuff to write about, John. That's my whole point. Is this thing we're talking about right now isn't even on our list?
I know. It's not. Because there's so much more to talk about.
There's so much more.
Like, Shohei Ohtani says he's going to be ready to pitch again this season.
Yeah, he did a simulated game, right? Mm-hmm. He actually pitched a simulated game. Now, look, as someone who's currently suffering a sore elbow myself, don't do it, man. Don't do it. The Angels have nothing to play for.
There's really no reason to just get your at-bats, get through your first season, rest up. You know,
because if he goes Tommy John now, if he pitches and goes Tommy John now, he's out for next season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even as a hitter, he's out for next season.
Right. Right, so it would make
more
sense.
Is that true statement? Hold on, that might not be a true statement.
6 months.
He's at least out for he's at least out for a few months as a hitter.
Yeah.
Okay, so I stand corrected.
He would be a DH, so he would be able to come back relatively quickly.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Gleyber Torres got injured halfway through the season, and he was back by the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. So, fair enough.
But there's nothing to play for.
Yeah. But this is the single most exciting player in baseball right now, right?
It,
like,
it is.
Just the fact that he can pitch and the bat has been much better than we thought.
And I loved how he kind of shut everybody up because in spring training he looked awful as a hitter.
Right.
And as soon as the season starts, boom, different approach, different player. But he's been exciting. He's definitely been exciting. And, you know, the Angels have, you know, two of the more exciting players in baseball, yet still mediocre.
Right.
No pitching.
Yes. And it's not really on them. That's a lot of injuries. Mm-hmm. Can't really. I mean, you always expect some injuries, but they just have been decimated.
So how about Jose Bautista's, you know, his second life has
third life.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Fourth life.
He's just, he was basically an afterthought, you know, after underperforming tremendously two seasons ago. And
right.
then nobody wanted him. And then he came back with the Mets and he was doing okay. Had that big, huge game, that, what, 7 RBI game, and still has some top in the bat.
Who did he sign with first this season? Was it the Braves? Was it the Braves the one that?
He was with the Braves.
That's right. He was the Braves.
He was in the minors for a while with the Braves.
He was really bad.
Yeah.
Well, they tried playing him at third a little bit, and that was really bad.
That's when he came up. Yeah, he came up as a third baseman for him. But, you know, his bat still plays.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that he went to a National
League
team.
Well, the on-base percentage, right? Like, he always gets the walk. So he's in that 320 on-base percentage area. He's good against lefties, right? And the Phillies are doing this weird thing where they're just like, look, we just want all the DHs on our team. They got Rhys Hoskins, who's basically a first-base DH playing left field. They got Carlos Santana, who they paid a bunch of money to, who they play sometimes when they're not playing Justin Bour.
Right.
Who they picked up for God knows what reason. And now they've got Jose Bautista.
Well, I think Gabe Kapler thinks there's going to be a lot of situational baseball to be played in September. So he's ready.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, that's a strange team. But Kapler's not making those calls. The, you know, management is.
I think it's a coordinated effort, though. Like, it feels like it's a coordinated. I just don't understand fully the plan here. Like, it just get everybody. Like, maybe they're doing, like, oh, well, no one else wants them, so let's get them all.
Yeah, we can get them.
Like, sometimes that works in, like, a fantasy baseball thing. Like, if everyone's going, you know, pitching in your league, we'll just go all hitting and then, you know, sort out the pitching later.
It can be done. Yeah. And it depends on the format, too.
Yeah. Of course, yes. Hey, did you see my team in our league is
bounce back.
Is out in front a little bit.
Yeah.
I still think I'm going to lose this league. I still think there's just too many injuries, too many underperformers. I don't think it's enough to.
Yeah, I think last week I saw you were down by like 4 or 5 points, and then I just looked the other day, and you were back up by 4 or 5 points. That's some pretty big swings there.
Yeah. And then in the other league, the one that that's big money, I'm in first, and I'm in way in first in the division, and then in the league of leagues, I'm in third.
Mm.
And we have in my division or my league has 3 of the top 7 teams of 120.
120 teams?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And do you guys do playoffs?
No, it's all rotisserie, so it'll just go to the end of the season rotisserie stuff.
Do you do any head to head leagues?
I do one head-to-head league, and I'm going to tell you, John, terrible.
Really?
Absolutely terrible. Some bad luck with injuries and some bad luck with matchups. And I'll be honest, I won't name the website, but I'm having some trouble with the website. It doesn't have the ease that the ESPN site has for me. I'm so used to the ESPN site. Mm-hmm. This one is a little
more cumbersome.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little harder for me to. Anyway, whatever. I have excuses. That's what I'm saying. Like any good manager, I have excuses. It's not my fault.
Speaking of a manager who doesn't have any excuses right now, is Shilt Happens apparently in St.
Yes.
Louis. They decided to take the interim tag off and make him the full deal.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like it's not quite enough games to say, like, he's the reason.
They had a streak, so he's ready to rock for.
I just feel like it's the same sort of logic that brings you Mike Matheny is the logic that makes you sign, you make him your permanent manager after, what, 45 days?
Yeah, something like that. And I didn't see the numbers, but I'm sure it wasn't some huge contract.
Yeah, I mean, there's maybe something to that.
It's not a marquee name.
Yeah.
So they probably saw value. You know,
it's a great name, though, right?
Office. Yeah, it is.
Schilt. Add that up there with Pujols. And he might not win Manager of the Year, but he's going to win Manager Name of the Year.
Yeah. So Kenley Jansen has decided to stop taking the meds that are keeping him alive because he said it's contributing to his poor performance.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of doctor prescriptions are kind of shady. My dad's been through a bunch of stuff with his heart where the meds that he's given actually make his life worse and make his condition worse.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just like, oh, yeah, no, just stop taking that. Like, oh,
thanks for the
okay
script. Right. Yeah, I'm kind of anti prescriptions myself. I'll
yeah.
live a natural route as much as possible, and rarely yeah. have I ever taken any prescription drugs, even when they're prescribed yeah. pain. Like, I had a tooth pulled, and they're like, you want some opioids? And I'm like, no, thank you.
Got to take that script, though. You got to go sell it, man.
No, I didn't take it.
God, even I take it. I'll never do that stuff.
You just take it and put it, file it away in the just in case?
No, you take it, you fill it, you go out on the street corner, and you sell it. This is how you sell the drugs, man.
And so it's probably really easy to do in New York City, right?
Well, now, yeah, exactly.
You just walk out your front,
yeah, you just,
front door.
You just rattle the little prescription bottle and people line up.
It's like, you know, turning on the lights at night and the roaches run around.
Yeah, it's like that, but the other way.
Right, they come to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think it's going to make a difference?
I mean, I know it affected my dad. And the thing is, he was throwing 94, right?
Your dad like was throwing 94?
My dad was throwing 94. Wow. Well, he's been on steroids, too, as part of his heart treatment. So, I mean, the guy is just roided up. And, like, you know, he's hitting the ball 500 feet.
Wow. And is he playing in any farm system right now? Working his way up to the top?
He's in a softball league with Billy Butler.
Nice.
That's a little callback for anyone who remembers anything that we said ever before. So Kenley Jansen's cutter was going 94. So it just, I guess he wasn't hitting his spots or whatever, but he said he was feeling like he was sleepwalking out there, which is strange because he made one of the greatest double play moves I've ever seen in baseball the other night to get out of giving up more runs to the Rangers. He behind the back, tossed to second, and then he threw it to second for back to first for the double play to end the game.
Wow.
Off a broken bat hit. Anyway, it was really something. It was really
I'll have to look
really
that
fun
one
to
up.
Watch. But he just looks awful. Like, he's giving up home runs and hard hit balls. Like, of course, you have to hit the ball hard for a home run. But when it's not a home run, it's hard hit ball, except for the bat that exploded. Like, if the bat hadn't exploded, you know, probably would have been a hit. Because it's right back up the middle, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Speaking of home runs, hard hit. Well, apparently, not all home runs are hard hit. Tyler White's walk off yesterday was a routine fly ball in like 99% of the ballparks, and it's a walk off winner.
Yeah, I do like that. Some ballparks have those anomalies, though. You know what I mean? Like that Houston ballpark, that short porch and left. I like that stuff. Like, it shouldn't be. If they're all the same, then it's just, I don't know. It's football. It's basketball. Like, it's one of the charms that, like, in Yankee Stadium, if you hit a fly ball to right, it's a home run. If you hit a deep, you know, progressive field, that is that way in for the Indians as well. But then if you hit it deep to left, it's like, well, that's an out, dude. Sorry.
Yeah, but I just thought it was funny that StatCast had it as a 1% chance of being productive.
So good.
And it's a walk-off winner.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw a game against the Red Sox the other day. Someone hit a wall scraper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, this is a fly ball out. Even in Houston, it's just a fly ball out. Right. But it kind of came down and sort of glanced off the green monster. And that's a double.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I love about Fenway is all the little angles and nooks and crannies, the ball, you know.
The triangle in center,
Yeah, weird bounces. And you could hit a routine fly ball off the wall, and it bounces and ricochets. You know, usually a team, it's the opposing team because the Red Sox know how to play the wall. But opposing team, it could turn a routine fly ball into a triple.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Especially if J.D. Martinez is out there.
But it,
oh, man.
Speaking of Tyler White's home run, it was a set a record for walk-offs. It was the 81st walk-off home run of the year, which is quite a bit.
And that's a record for the league.
Not for him.
That's not his 81st walk-off home run this year.
He said it was his first ever at any level.
Oh, wow.
So he was quite excited.
Well, he was a big hot prospect 2 years ago, right? And then just kind of didn't do that well when he came up and then was up and down last year and has been just on fire, which we'll discuss later in a new segment called Who Good, Who Bad.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So let's move back into our list.
Yeah.
Ken Rosenthal is reporting that the Blue Jays are absolutely down and out on Donaldson.
Yeah, the quote is that they want him gone.
Which is strange, is that would ever come out.
It's a tough spot for the Blue Jays, right? Like, are they saying they want him gone because, like, you know, logistically and, like, administratively, it'd be better if they could trade him and get something. And that way they don't have to do a qualifying offer at the end of the season because
right.
It's like, is he worth a qualifying offer? $18 million? Maybe he just takes that, you know, as a pillow contract, you know, tries to reestablish his value on the Blue Jays. But then, like, well, they don't really want a third baseman because they got Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a little bit of a mess, but it just, I don't know. I think it's, I hope it's not Ken Rosenthal just trying to stir up more subscriptions to The Athletic. But,
it's working.
But, yeah, a little odd on the wording there. Like, obviously they want to trade him for something of value. Like, why not just put it that way? They're really eager to trade him instead of, like, they want him out of here.
All right, that seems a little strange that they would, one, say that. You know, what front office is going to really, you know, create disfavor between a player and management with a comment like that?
Not surprised from the Canadians, though, going to be honest with you.
And then there's another, you know, story here of making comments that basically, I don't want to say it ruined your career, but it definitely has turned your career into a completely different direction. That's Bob Costas in the comments that he made last season about football basically, you know, killing people, more or less, brain damaging people. So he basically says, you know, I don't want to be a shill. So he stepped back from reporting. So he's now coming to the point where they're having, and he and NBC, an amicable breakup after 40 years of good times.
Yeah.
And it seems like Costas will go the way of HBO or something like that, where he can report on, you know, the Brent Gumbel route.
Yeah. Hey, here's the thing. Do you associate him with NBC? Because I don't. I mean, I associate him with the Olympics. I know the Olympics is always on NBC because they think it's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really think of him as being NBC, but he's been there for 40 years.
That's a long time. That's crazy when you think about, you know, 40 years with one company.
And I know I'm kind of a jerk, so I'm whatever, but, like, the thing I remember the most about him is the pink eye.
The pink eye.
Right?
Yeah. He will go down in history.
The Olympic pink eye.
Yeah. I'm fine. I'm good. Bob, you're scaring the audience. You need to stop.
There are children watching this, and they're all crying.
Daddy, what's wrong with that man? Oh, it's just Bob Costas being Bob Costas. But I do. I think I definitely, you know, think of all the different sports that he has covered, and whether it's in the studio or broadcasting. You know, he's kind of a Mr. NBC to me. In the same way,
but he's like a vanilla guy, though, right? Like,
he is.
I don't think I ever remember anything he's ever said, and I don't think I.
Like
have
Joe
ever,
Buck. Joe Buck is Mr. Fox.
Joe Buck is worse
horrible.
Than vanilla.
Right.
Joe Buck is worse than vanilla. Joe Buck is like light ice cream.
He is. Daddy got him his job.
It's like, oh no, it's fat free. Like, oh no, it's great. It's gonna be. It tastes just like ice cream.
Right.
Like, no, it doesn't taste like ice cream. You know what tastes like ice cream? Ice cream.
No substitute required.
Yeah, but he's
don't
like vanilla light.
Right. Yeah, he's pretty. That's a whole show. In and of itself. I'm not a fan at all. So Noah Syndergaard is feeling like he's just wasting his time out there.
He's wasting his talent. No,
he
feels like his performances.
Yeah. Well, he's just out there.
He says he's just wasting his ability to throw a baseball.
Right. So he feels like, you know, I'm going out there and I'm giving up runs and, right. you know, with my talent, yes. I shouldn't be this mediocre.
Admittedly, when I first read this, I thought he was just talking about playing for the Mets. It just says,
the quote is,
I'm just kind of wasting my ability to throw a baseball. Like, yeah, you're on the Mets.
Right.
Get in line, pal.
Everyone else feels the same way.
Everyone else is wasting their baseball talent as well.
Yeah, get in line and light your own dumpster fire. Yeah, and it's it's one of those things too that in the beginning of the season, everyone was like, "This is the guy. This is his year." And it started out that way in spring training. In the first, I think, month of the season, he was unhittable, and then he got hurt, and then everything kind of went downhill from there. But then again, you can't. Yeah, he's playing in New York City. He's one of the elite pitchers in the game. And I think there'd be a lot of pitchers out there thinking, you know, I wouldn't mind being Noah Syndergaard and having those numbers and having that performance. He's still got a high strikeout rate. You know, he's still...
Yeah, but the last three or four starts have been really bad.
Yeah.
Like, not just by his standard, but like, you know, anyone's standard. Like Bartolo Colon's standard.
I don't know about that. Those are pretty low standards. Let's see what else we got here. I'm surprised this hasn't happened before. I have actually thought about this since we're in the shift mode of moving players around the field, is deploying the four-man outfield. And the Durham Bulls did that against Eloy Jimenez to prevent him from doing what he's been doing, which is tearing the cover off the ball.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the exciting young players in the minors. Normally, we wouldn't talk about this because what the some teams have four-man outfielded Joey Gallo, right? Like, so it's not like,
I haven't seen
this
before.
Is the first time ever, but I've never heard of it happen to a minor leaguer.
Like, I've seen like that softball fourth outfielder, but I haven't seen four across.
Four across. Check it out. It's interesting. Yeah, Joey Gallo got a couple of those.
Okay.
But yeah, Eloy Jimenez as a triple A hitter, which I don't think they're going to bring him up. I don't think the White Sox are going to bring him up this year, even though they brought up Kopech, who's looked pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
A little
Thank
wildness, but that fastball is looking pretty sexy.
Yeah.
But Eloy is like their centerpiece. He's like the crown jewel of their, like, better than Yoan Moncada, better than Michael Kopech. Jimenez is like the guy. Like, he's the number three hitter. He's their Mike Trout. And sure enough, the Durham Bulls. Now, in fairness to the situation, the Durham Bulls are the Tampa Bay Rays AAA organization, so they might be doing a little more experiment-y type stuff. And like, oh, why don't we... This is probably a good guy to experiment on this with. This is the Tampa Bay Rays are the team that sometimes start with a relief pitcher.
Right.
Which is an odd occurrence. Especially since it doesn't seem to really be working that well. It's probably Diego Castillo gave up three runs yesterday. Like, okay.
But a starting pitcher could do that. The hottest team in baseball over the last 2 weeks.
Fair enough. I don't think it's because of the starting pitcher.
I do not think that at all.
Might have to do with Blake Snell.
It's baseball. It's the ebb and flow of baseball.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, interesting. I always like talking about young players, so whenever I see a story on the wire... And by the wire, I just mean on the interwebs. I throw it in there. I'm excited about Eloy Jimenez.
I know. You've brought him up quite a bit. So
he's great.
Yeah. Looking forward to his
Vladimir debut. Guerrero Jr., I'm more excited about Eloy for two reasons. One, I actually think that's a cooler name than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. because Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is like a long, like it's a sentence.
Right. It feels
and
like
also, everyone's already talking about him. You know what I mean? So I'm going to put my... I put my thing into Eloy Jimenez, but that's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say was I'm excited about you. Wait, you know what? I'm going to not say excited about right after I just said put my thing into, but Eloy Jimenez is my guy.
He's your guy. You can crush on him. It's okay.
Yeah.
So the Cubs are talking about their contract situation runs out, their TV deal at the end of the season, and they're talking about starting their own network, which I'm surprised that they didn't already have one.
Right.
Because it's a big money deal, and it's worked out quite nicely for both the Yankees. The Red Sox, the NESN, isn't that a similar thing, or is that an independent, not owned?
I don't think it's the same. I don't think the Red Sox own NESN, no.
Okay. But yeah, it's a big enough market, big enough... dollars are going to be there. And I was reading an article that said that that'll put them on the same playing field as the Yankees when it comes to dollars and financial flexibility. Right. I already thought they were doing quite fine financially, but that will only help.
Well, I wonder if then they do this, and then the Dodgers, of course, have a whatever multi-billion dollar deal, but I wonder if they're all of a sudden going to be a little bit like, hey, maybe we should get our own.
Right.
So I think a baseball network owned by a network owned by a baseball team, I think, works better than one that would be owned by a basketball team or a football team. So a network owned by a baseball team is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Because of course you have the 162 games.
That's like the games. That's plenty of time.
That's
to make
6 months plus preseason plus postseason.
Yeah. It's an 8 month.
Yeah.
You're on air 8 months.
Yeah.
I just remember back in the early 2000s when the MLB network and NFL network come out, people were like, who's going to watch these, you know, all year long? Like I do.
Yeah.
I don't now because I don't have access to it, but I used to watch the MLB network every day.
Because you're illegally in Mexico.
I've left the country. I'm on the run.
You're on the lam, yeah.
I'm chasing turtles down the beach. let's see, Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
Raised close to $300,000 for first responders. Was it a specific, tied to something specific?
I don't think it was tied to first responders for like an incident. I think it was just first responders, probably Chicago area, right? I just wanted to put this in there because we talk a lot about bad news and crappy things. And it's just kind of cool to see these guys using their, you know, their celebrity, their whatever to bring attention to.
I raised $200 for Parasports Spokane on my birthday through Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, like, proportionately, you actually outdid Kyle Schwarber.
Probably. I have very little clout.
But, like, if you compared clout to dollars raised, I think you did better.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel good about myself.
Yeah.
So someone who wasn't feeling too good about himself, this seems to be a running theme in sports, is that I tweeted something 5, 6, 10 years ago, and now it's coming back to bite me. So J.D. Martinez had a controversial Instagram post, which really, at the end of the day, wasn't that controversial. But when you
he's not taking it down. He's not like these other guys who have to take it down. He's keeping it up.
Well, he says he has the right. You know, it's just that we don't all have to agree. You know, but
the post is a picture of Hitler, right? Who everyone's against, including J.D. Martinez, by the way, and with a reference to.
Basically,
Hitler.
I want to have a gun to defend myself from weirdos like this.
Right, that the first move of fascism or whatever is to take away the people's guns, right? So that's like the... And so there's Adolf Hitler, because Adolf Hitler, one of the first things he did was took away the people's rights to have guns. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. So Second Amendment, no matter how you feel about how broad it applies, it is still an amendment of the Constitution, and the right to bear arms is
apparently a touchy subject for your dog as well.
Yeah, my dog's not excited about J.D. Martinez being into this. Yeah. But the thing is, my other dog completely supports him.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the way he responded to it. It's like, this is news for you guys, you know, the media more than anything, and I'm here to win baseball games. That's why I'm here. But I'll address it because it happened, but, you know, I'm here to talk about baseball.
I mean, the thing that I agree with that about that is everything.
Mm-hmm,
the media is the ones that are, like, trying to make things out of things. They're trying to make mountains out of molehills or Instagram posts.
Can you imagine there are people that are actually spending not minutes but probably hours poring over athletes, politicians, people in entertainment, their accounts going back years to see if there's any dirt?
And John, not just what they've posted, but what they've liked
or what they thought.
Like what someone liked, like what someone someone else did a post and they liked it. People are getting in trouble for having liked what someone else said.
I think I may have to make a pseudonym for myself. And
wow.
I'm just
don't worry, John.
Down the
we're never going to need that.
Yeah, I
we're
only raised $200, so I yeah. think I'm yeah. good.
You're good.
It's just until our Google histories are made public, you know, in some dump, and then we're kind of like, uh-oh.
Right.
He's into that? Ooh. Never would have thought
How to make a bomb. No, sorry. You go the wrong way with that one.
Oh, whoa. Censor. Yeah, I'm getting the people in the truck are saying, tell Jed to tamp that down. Didn't name any names, though, so that's good. I think we might be safe on that one.
Yeah.
So we had the big exciting news, always exciting when the U.S. teams win the Little League World Series. And Hawaii,
that's right. It's the way it should be.
Hawaii topped South Korea. I think it was 3-0 to win the Little League World Series Sunday afternoon. I didn't get a chance
to watch them. My favorite thing about the Little League World Series is that those kids get to celebrate and rejoice in their accomplishment, and hundreds of other kids live with the shame of being losers on a national and international scale. Really quite a thing for children to go through.
Especially when they watch. I mean, the announcers try to make it more amazing than it really is.
Yeah.
These are at that level. There's a skill set. You're only as good as you can get. And a lot of times there's a lot of luck involved. At that level, like some of the catches that are made, they're like, that was a fantastic catch. I'm like, the kid's eyes were closed and he stuck the glove up in the air. Yeah, it wasn't a fantastic catch. It was it looked good, but it wasn't fantastic. It was luck. But there are some dominant players out there. I mean, you know, some of these bigger kids, the guys with the 5 o'clock shadow and that are, you know, 12 inches taller than everybody else on their team.
The Popeye forearms.
Right.
The 12-year-old with the Popeye forearms, yeah.
But
it's the Hawaii team, right?
Right.
So, of course, Barack Obama praised them, right?
Sure.
Because I guess the Kenyan team wasn't in the running.
Ooh, ba-dum-bum.
A little Jed Rigney, ultra conservative. Alex Jones has been banned from Facebook, but I have not been yet.
Have you seen that autocorrect thing? It's not an autocorrect. It turns his rants into a Bon Iver song.
Oh, Bon Iver song? Oh, yeah. That's hilarious.
It's absolutely hysterical.
Look, we've said this before. Some of his stuff is just awful, and so I have no real sympathy for him being banned, though I don't think anyone should be banned because blah, 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 First Amendment, and then slippery slopes and whatever. But some of his stuff is just so hilarious,
so extreme.
It's so, like, I'm a man, and I'll fight you. Like, it's, like, what are you doing?
He's like, there's vampires out there stalking us in the night, and they're out to kill us.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Good news. Thanks for the tip.
And of course, as always, going to turn the frogs gay.
Going to turn the frogs gay?
That's his whole thing. So the pollution or whatever, the chemical blah, 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 are turning the frogs gay.
We can't have gay frogs. That would be, well, you know, but in today's modern world, we should have gay frogs.
I just want to be clear also that I think that Barack Obama was born in Hawaii. And that Kenyan joke was a joke.
But it was a funny joke.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. I just want to be clear, though, just because, like, hey, you know what? We're just doing some lighthearted stuff here just to pass the time.
And it, to be clear, we should clarify this, is that you and I are both more in the moderate realm. I lean a little bit more left, but I would consider myself moderate. I know that you're a moderate. But I think I've had people come to me like, how do you work with that guy? He's so conservative. I'm like, no, he's not. He's playing to the audience. He's playing to the story. So just in case anybody out there thinks that Jed and I are polar opposites, that is not true.
Yeah, I wish we were, though. Like, that would be we just, like, hated each other, but then, like, we love baseball.
So that we came together, you know, in the middle and found that happy moment. Like, it could have been a point-counterpoint. What was that show that was on Fox where that guy eventually got drubbed out? Was he with the
Crossfire?
Hannity? Combs. Hannity and Combs? Combs?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Combs, I think he just recently passed away, too. But he was a Democrat or liberal. And that show really is what got Fox elevated because of the two of them point-counterpoint type of thing. And then he got just dropped into the abyss and smushed and crushed by Fox.
The catacombs, am I right?
Yeah. So, yeah, folks, we are definitely, if you haven't figured this out yet, Jed is a comedy writer, and he looks for the jokes. So, yeah. Definitely a big part of our show, and we hope you enjoy it. Okay, last headline of the day.
What else is there, John?
The Mariners. I read about this a couple days ago, and it's just like, yeah, we need more money from the public for our publicly funded stadium. And we need $180 million because part of the engineering of the structure of the roof was not really optimal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Therefore, we've been having a lot of issues with it from day one, and we need this $180 million to make sure that we keep it operational. But the bigger thing is, though, and I don't know if you have a joke for this, but I found this interesting, is that they close the roof 400 times a year. They only need to close it on average for baseball purposes 20 times a year on average since it's been opened. But they need to close it for sun and for optimal grass. The grass is the thing.
I see.
So it's like 400 times, and you have two other stadiums that have retractable roofs. You have the Brewers, I think, do it like 200 times a year, and the Minute Maid or Tropicana or whatever it is down in Houston is 160 times that they close the roof.
Wait, are you talking about the Sunny Delight Stadium or the
The
Tropicana Stadium? It is the Minute Maid.
Minute Maid? It was Tropicana, and then it was Enron.
No, the Trop is over in Tampa Bay. That's the worst stadium. Here's the thing about that stadium, John. Not only is it the worst stadium now, it's the worst stadium ever. And it's I would rather play on at a stadium that's already been destroyed.
Have you been inside?
Yes. It is the worst watching experience of any baseball thing ever.
That's
all I have to say about that.
That's one stadium I haven't been to, but I did have a chance to go to Montreal before the Expos left, and that was not a good watching experience either. It felt like you were playing inside of a hangar.
Yeah.
You know, echoey, and it just felt industrial. Just didn't feel like baseball in any way. And I'm imagining that's a lot of what Tropicana feels.
Yeah, it's very like prefab and like There's no character to it at all, and it feels like you're in this really bad video game. You're in this two-dimensional world, even though clearly it's three-dimensional, though the Earth is flat, as some will tell you. The Earth is flat now. I don't know if you heard this.
Yeah, I did. I've heard some
You probably heard it from me running my mouth about how dumb people are saying the Earth is flat. Anyway, so it's a bad experience.
But the Mariners asking for more public money has struck a chord with some of the local politicians, for sure.
Right.
We'll see how that plays out in the next episode of As the Mariners Turn.
Right. The billionaires turn.
Right. And then, you know, unfortunately for the Mariners, the wheels coming off the roof is akin to the season for the Mariners. After being the lock a month and a half ago for the second wild card, they have basically been a mediocre team at best.
Yeah, it's been hard to watch. Though their record is still pretty good in the National League, they'd be right in it.
Yeah, yeah. They still have, I think, an outside chance, but their pitching is falling apart. And
yeah.
They've had Paxton, and then what was the other pitcher that just was Gonzalez? Gonzalez was great in the first half of the season, hasn't been as good in the second half of the season, so I don't know. We'll see. And I was part of it for me was like, you guys are going to make the playoffs the year that I move. And I was like getting agitated, thinking that they were.
So you've been putting like the whammy on them. You've been like jinxing them, John.
But I'm also an A's fan, so kind of been an A's fan ever since I was
a little.
So you're
an A's fan, a Marlins fan, and kind of a Mariners fan.
Mariners, but hometown adopted fan. I would say that A's were my favorite team until the Marlins came into South Florida, and I was a season ticket holder there for 15 years.
Yeah.
When I moved out to Seattle, kind of adopted the Mariners. But I still have always followed the A's and have always been a Marlins fan since day one.
Right.
So that's my jam. Yeah.
Well, thanks for all that information.
You're welcome. So let's move on to starting nine so that we can get through the whole lineup here in an hour. So we have a tongue-in-cheek. Well, depends on how you interpret that. For our patriotic hero, Stormy Daniels.
That's right. Many are touting her as the woman who will bring down Donald Trump, though some think she is just the woman who went down on Donald Trump.
For a nominal fee.
For a nominal fee. This is the patriotic hero who slept with a married man.
No morals. No morals.
Okay. Hey, look, I'm not going to slut-shame the sex worker because that's not what this is about. I'm slut-shaming the woman who sleeps with a married man and pretends she has the moral high ground on anything.
Yeah. She was comforting his ills, maybe?
Maybe,
like you said.
Is that what that's called now?
She's the patriotic hero in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got nine players with porn star related names. This should be good. Probably won't be as good as last week's, which was
outstanding. Here we go. Let's just bang these out, if you know what I'm saying.
I hear you.
This is a whole gangbang of names here, John.
Okay.
All right, first off, Stormy Daniels Murphy.
Okay.
Right? Keep it simple.
Right.
Ron Jeremy Jeffries.
The Hedgehog.
Yes, the Hedgehog. Not Jeremy Jeffries.
No, Ron Jeremy.
Though it would be funny if they nicknamed the pitcher the Hedgehog in honor of Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
Jenna Jameson Tyon.
There you go. Very nice.
Very
rolls
famous.
Right off the tongue.
Yeah, and Jenna Jameson, one of the more successful entrepreneurs in the adult industry as well as performers. Mary Lance Lynn Chambers.
Nice. Going deep.
You might know Marilyn Chambers from Behind the Green Door.
The Ivory Snow Lady.
Yeah.
Turned porn star.
Yes. Here's another oldie but goodie. Linda Cota Glover Lace.
Okay. The Deep
Linda
Throat
Lovelace.
Of Deep Throat
Deep,
fame.
Deep Throat. Yes, who then regretted her career choices and went on to be a bit of a moral activist. Is that a better way to put it? Anyway, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
James Dean Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Modern male star.
Yes.
Asia Drubal Carrera.
That's great. Asia Carrera,
right? Mm-hmm. Maybe the most famous Asian.
Yes, she is.
Though, how racist is it that they actually had to name her Asia? Like, oh, that's why she looks like that. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Just in case you didn't know.
Yeah. Okay. Now it makes sense. Okay. Now they can have sex. Okay, good.
And because they don't call her White Stormy Daniels, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or like America Daniels.
Right. don't give
All
her
right,
ideas.
Yes. She might, though. She's an American hero, John. I don't know if you heard. Annie Leibovitz did a photo shoot with her. Annie Leibovitz, John.
Feminist.
Killing me. Isaiah Mia Kiner Khalifa.
Okay, I knew that was going to show up. Talking of people trying to walk away from their past.
Yeah. And then Isaiah Kiner Khalifa is the baseball player. Now, people haven't really heard of him, but he's sort of a utility infielder, catcher guy for the Rangers right now. Could turn into something, you know. Regular, average
that was
player.
That was a good digging deep into the well of names.
Yeah. Next up, Mark Christy Canha Yun.
Yun.
Christy Canyon. Mark Canha. Mark Christy Canha Yun. And last but not least. Bringing up the rear, as it were, for one last hurrah before our little death, before we climax here. Tracy Lourdes-Gurriel.
There you go. Tracy Lourdes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was the one that was famous for being 16 years old, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so you can't actually, or I assume you can't, I should say, you're not supposed to be able to see any of her stuff because it's illegal, right? It's all technically child pornography.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's that way in France.
It's an oops. Oui, oui.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's that.
Okay. So now we're moving on to the new segment.
Who good? Who bad?
Who bad? So you got a list of names here, and I'm assuming right. We're just going to bounce back and forth, and you're going to
say... This is basically since the All-Star break, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to mention some names here that, like, hey, this is pretty incredible. Justin Turner is batting almost 400 since the All-Star break.
After an injury-plagued first half of the season.
That's right. He was batting, like, around 260 in the first part of the season. I don't mind saying I got him in a trade as a throw-in in this league, the big money league that I'm in. And it's been very beneficial, but almost batting 400.
So gave up on him because he was injured. Somebody gave up.
Yeah, the guy threw him in because he needed to get rid of a spot. Mm-hmm. And it was like, all right, well, I'll take him and take a chance. And first game back, he hits a home run. And he has just been killing the ball. Yeah. Next up, who bad? Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got like a 40 WRC plus. That means he is 60% lower than average.
Yeesh.
Than the average of the league. Like, yeah. Carlos Correa, this is like the MVP level player.
Right.
Ugh, he must still be injured or
I think it's
something.
That facial hair thing he's got going on.
Yeah.
The kind of, it's like a beard above
yeah.
his cheekbones.
I take back the injury thing. That's the injury.
He can't grow a beard. I think he should just stop.
You know what he's going to do is next year he'll shave the beard, win comeback player of the year.
There you go. I think that's my recommendation would be, according.
Yeah. Well, that'd be a hell of a batting coach
right. Shave the
interview.
Beard. Well, you know, Bryce Harper did it and it worked. He shaved the beard.
Well, it's working for Tyler White.
Yeah, to have the beard.
To have the beard, but it's a bigger beard.
It's a big
If you
beard.
Don't have the beard, you got to get, you can't pretend.
It's Keuchel-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, Tyler White has, as we mentioned earlier, he has been killing the ball. Home run, hitting for power, on base, da-da-da. I picked him up in our league for a buck. You and I, and yours in my league. I mm-hmm. picked him up for a buck. This guy might be a keeper at a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you know who's not a keeper? Brandon Belt.
Big money Belt.
Started off the season huge, like almost to the point where, because I'm always sort of down on him as a player because I don't, as a first baseman, he doesn't get a lot of home runs, but he was hitting home runs, crazy on base percentage. And then he came back from injury, and it's just been, you know what? I got a theme here going, right? Carlos Correa, Brandon Belt, guys who came back from injury, not looking so great.
He's always been kind of like a Hayward-esque type of player. You think he's better right. than he really is.
Yeah.
You know? Good first baseman, gets on base. But he got the big contract though this year. I think he's went from like a $4 to $5 million a year to $18 million and not that value for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a steal before, but now he's overvalued.
Yeah. Matt Chapman.
Loving it.
Killing the ball.
Yeah, his war is
and
third,
of course,
third in the league, I think, in the American
Well,
league.
he's the best third baseman by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In baseball. So, like, he always was going to have the playing time, and it's just started off kind of slow, just enough to kill your fantasy baseball team, John. And then, because you know who else is super hot is Abreu.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Abreu.
And I don't have him anymore.
Well, you traded him off, but, like, the first half of the season, he was pretty awful. Bad. Yeah. Killed your team.
Killed my team. I had a lot of that this year. A lot of bad first half performances. Yeah.
Addison Russell, not on your team. Also,
thank God.
Basically off the Cubs now. Like,
yeah,
they
like,
traded for Daniel
you're
Murphy.
You're going to have an injury. What? Excuse me?
Yeah.
You're going to be hurt. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going
your numbers are so bad, you must be hurt.
We're telling you. Yeah. You're hurt.
Yeah, they're going to send Vito down to the clubhouse right. and with a bat. Say, hey, this is our new batting coach.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Take out his knees.
He was, you know, superstar.
Yeah,
and the A's were being, you know, ridiculed for trading him. Now, you know, Billy Beane's like, yeah, this I saw this coming. All along. Saw this coming. That's why I got rid of him.
Yes. Yes, for sure. All right, you all know who else is hot?
Who else?
Trevor Williams.
Who is Trevor Williams?
He is a starting pitcher for the Pirates who, since the All-Star break, has an under one ERA.
That's pretty impressive.
He just feels like one of those guys, though, where it's like, okay, good. Next week he gives up 8 runs and then just proceeds to give up 5 runs a week a game of a start per for the rest of the season.
Well, that's like Bettis in the first, what, two month and a half of the season. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, Chad Bettis is the, you know, it's his reckoning. Here he is. And who? I think he's been demoted.
Yeah.
To the bullpen.
Yeah. Yeah, and so Trevor Williams, because like part of it's the name, right? Like Trevor Williams, like yeah, who's that? That's yeah. not a baseball name.
Right, it isn't. It's so like Trevor.
Good baseball name, bad pitcher, Dylan Bundy.
Yeah.
I've always been dubious of Orioles pitchers, of course, because they have such a problem developing them.
Yeah, and ruining them, apparently, yeah. too.
But maybe he goes away from the Orioles at some point, and then he becomes like the next Jake Arrieta.
He's one of those players that every year, before, when he was a prospect, people were like, "Oh, when Dylan Bundy comes up, man, this yeah. guy's the next great thing." And now, then he turned into one of those players like, "It's coming. I'm holding on to him. It's coming. Yeah. It hasn't come yet."
He's had a couple of nice streaks,
mm-hmm.
I will say, but I don't know whether it's just a toxic environment, so he just can't. He's not 100% there or whatever, but he just doesn't, or maybe there's an injury. I don't know. Whatever. You know who's doing awesome? Your guy, yeah. Blake Snell.
Yeah. Finally put it together. He's not wild anymore. That's been a huge thing. His curveball is awesome.
He's basically the best. I mean, I don't want to say the best pitcher, but since the All-Star break, the best pitcher in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
He's been one of the best pitchers in the American League all season. And he's been like awesome. Strikeouts, can't hit him, barely walks anyone. It's yeah. really been awesome.
And that was a huge knock on him, was that he was getting the strikeouts, but he was walking four or five people right. every game. And yeah. he's down to like one or two walks a game. He's had a couple yeah. of bad streaks within games, but he still has yeah. been, you know, when he pitches, he's only giving up a run or two max.
It's great.
And he's getting seven innings plus every outing.
It's just exciting to watch a young player like that, like get, you know, just blowing people away and, you know, just killing it. Even though it's not for my team or whatever, but who cares? You know what I mean?
No, yeah, it's good.
You know who's not blowing anyone? You know who's being blown away? And there's no Stormy Daniels reference here. Is Yeffrey Ramirez. That's correct. Yeffrey. I'm not trying to pronounce it J with a yay sound.
It's a Y.
It's a Y. And maybe this is the problem. Maybe it's like, why, Jeffrey?
And what are his numbers?
He's had an 8 ERA.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so average is 4.
And the team he pitches for is the Dylan Bundy loving
Orioles. So we're kind of picking on the Orioles a little bit. And part of that might be a little bit of the defense and the bada 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 because the defense ain't so great, but a little bit.
I saw his projections for the year. If he played a full season at his current performance, the ERA would be above 7, and he would be 3-17.
I mean,
that's not too good.
That would be fun to watch, though, in like a comedy sense.
Right.
Not necessarily in a baseball appreciation sense.
Yeah, Billy Butler wishes he was pitching softball.
Like, yeah, like we'll that's
take that guy.
That's basically like a position player pitching.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeffrey Ramirez.
But maybe he just needs a change of scenery.
Don't be ashamed of your J, Yeffrey.
Own it.
You know who's doing great? Zach Wheeler.
I have noticed since I picked him up for a buck or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's bounced back.
Been killing it
consistently
and not killing it, Steven Matz.
Yeah, on the other side of the Mets rotation.
Yeah,
yeah. Matz has been one of those, the lefty that they were like, okay, this guy's really going to be something someday, and like we're still waiting.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Matz. I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't like him. I really like him as a pitcher, but I don't like him because he tries to pitch through injuries, mm-hmm. and I don't like guys that do that. And he had two starts where after the game, it was like, oh, yeah, no, I was a little injured.
Yeah, that's not good for like, pitchers, don't, especially.
Yeah, if it's your arm, dude, like, say that's my arm is sore. Like
that's your money. Yeah.
And it's not just his money. It's my fantasy baseball team's money. All right, what else we got?
So
I like that segment. That's a fun little segment. We'll pull that back every now and then.
Yeah, I'd like to see that again on the agenda. Yeah. So extra innings, taking a look outside the world of baseball. Michael Kendricks, talk about having your career go down in flames.
Oof.
For nothing to do with an on-field issue. comes over from the Eagles, goes to the Browns, seen on Hard Knocks on
Hard
HBO,
Knocks, yeah.
You know, giving inside information about being with the Eagles, which is completely legit, and people do it
yes,
all the time.
Yes, totally legal. Is there a certain kind of insider information that is illegal, John?
There is when it comes to trading stocks.
And boom.
Apparently, he made a boo-boo.
Yes.
A big boo-boo.
He trusted the wrong people, John.
Yeah, he trusted the wrong people, but he was aware
yeah.
that what was being done was illegal, and he did it anyway. But, you know, when you have somebody from Goldman Sachs, a you know, Harvard graduate type of thing, or Ivy League graduate, giving you advice, you kind of be like, well, I guess everybody's doing it. And they are. He got caught. He's probably going to be suspended. May go to prison.
Right.
We'll see what...
White collar, though.
Yeah.
What? Up to him, you know, moving up. I'm just saying. Could be worse.
It could be worse. But it definitely tarnishes his image, for sure.
Did Ray Lewis have anything to say about these crimes that were committed?
He's like, yeah, just... I have a good lawyer for you. Just don't tell him where the bodies are buried. But that was the big news, you know, this week out of Browns camp.
Yeah.
Browns just can't catch a break. We'll see. Everybody's high on the Browns this year. I think they're still a sub-500 team, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So Jamel
Hill. They'd have to be high to be high on the Browns.
The Jamel Hill story that probably has been coming for, what, almost a year?
Yeah.
We've been waiting for this shoe to drop.
I assume the contract ran out, right? Like,
I think it's... a mutual parting of the ways. It was 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, she has had a few things that very politically outspoken.
And yes.
ESPN doesn't like talk politics at all. Although some of their announcers
I think that's the problem is they switched over more to too much opinion. Mm-hmm. I think they let her go because no one watches her because her ratings are terrible. But ESPN is very progressive, John.
You think so?
He's one of those things where... It's so progressive that it makes me flare up into a conservative. Like, it makes me swing to the right. Like, stop talking about this. I just want to watch sports highlights.
Yeah, I don't watch any of those shows. I mean, I mean, I used to love ESPN in the 90s for the 11 o'clock show. Or the 6
right.
and the talking heads that they had on were the best.
Right,
the
Craig Kilborn best. And...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dan Patrick.
And
Keith Olbermann before he went nutso.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was absolutely brilliant to watch sports, and it was comedy. It was like a comedy show. It was so much fun. And now it's just, it's like they're parading these people out there who are trying to be so much like the predecessors. It's like, you're not funny.
Right.
It's not funny. Don't try. And they have done the equality thing, so there's a lot more equality, men and women on the show. But there's some of their women announcers. It's like, okay, you want to be taken seriously. Maybe you shouldn't dress the way you're dressing. Because it's like,
a double-edged sword, though, right? Because like maybe they're saying you need to dress like that.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know...
The problem that I have is I watched Jamel Hill's show when it first came on. And basically, it's an hour of her talking about her opinions about things... Other people's opinions about things, about sports, other sports people's opinions about not sports. Like, this is ESPN.
Right.
I don't want to hear people's, I want to hear, like, what kind of fastball is it?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the fastest fastball that we've seen this year? Like, that's what people want from ESPN. They don't want all this other stuff.
There are people who have earned the, like, Scott Van Pelt. It's great. He's probably the only thing worth watching, and he's on late at night. But he's really good, and he has earned the gravitas to have the conversations that he has had. But someone like, I mean, I've only seen her a few times, over the 12 years. I was shocked when I saw that she had been there for 12 years. I had no idea.
Right.
But, you know, she'll move on, and she'll get a talk show.
Oh, no, she'll do fine. And, like, you know, she's a very popular progressive voice, and I'm sure, you know, she'll always find a place, you know, to write and even to appear places, you know, even as a consultant or a whatever they call it on CNN or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she has she has really strong takes and she has some very interesting things to say, of course, but it's just not with sports,
right.
Like not on my sports channel.
Right. She'll probably wind up on MSNBC.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. I don't wish her any. I just don't want her muddying up my sports with like opinions.
Okay. And you don't want fake Michael Jackson impersonators muddying up your Michael Jackson catalog.
Sony may have sold fake Michael Jackson songs as sung by an impersonator.
How do you do that? How does that happen? Was it intentional and they didn't know about it?
Here's the thing. They've been excluded. The judge has dismissed the charges against them, against Sony and the Michael Jackson estate. I don't know. Maybe they just like, you know, they were like, oh, we got most of these songs already done, but we didn't quite finish them. So let's get somebody in here. Maybe the Milli Vanilli guys are available.
I don't know. That just is a strange story.
Yeah. And of course, it all flares up around the anniversary of his. You know,
yeah, but the key there is may have.
May have.
Not quite sure. Not quite sure. Can't prove it. We can't prove that there was some guy that didn't look like Michael Jackson that was posthumously recording. We're not sure.
Hold on a second, John. Why would they have to look like Michael Jackson to record a song?
I don't know.
Have you seen the guy that they replaced Steve Perry in Journey? He's Filipino.
I know. Anything like him. Although Steve Perry's back in the game.
He sounds exactly like Steve Perry. He's Filipino.
Yeah, Steve Perry just released a new album, or is about to release a new album. Wow. I saw the first song off it. Still got the chops.
Does he really? Yeah. Is that something that needs to happen?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
I listened to this song. I'm like, this is the first release. It still sounds like him. It sounds, you know, very Steve Perry-esque.
Or maybe it sounds like that Filipino guy.
Oh, could be, yeah. Maybe that's the next scandal.
Right?
Who's zooming who? What's coming up next?
Find out the latest goings-on in the world of baseball in the next episode of the Foul Territory Podcast featuring John Sumple and Jed Rigney, or their impersonators.